I'm Alice Cooper. You're tuned in to Alice Cooper.
Everybody, how y'all doing out there? Welcome to my nightmare. This is Malice Cooper, and you are listening to me today. Iron Savior. And the interview with Jens is up next. I'm going to play a song, and then the interview, and then two more songs. And we're just going to rock out to all of that. And I hope you enjoy it. Stick with me, because after that is a little bit of music, and then oh my god. It's Dennis Dunaway, man. Not kidding. I've been totally tripped out. Like, seriously tripped. Really tripped. Because, like, okay, yeah, I do talk to him in Messenger and stuff. And, you know, like, and we talk. But it's different when you talk to a person on the phone, you know? Like, because it's like, holy crap, you know? Like, it just all of a sudden it's real, you know? But anyways, we're just going to go in. Ready? 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 Here we go. All right, this is Malice Cooper. Today on the show, we have Jens from Iron Savior. Jens, how are you doing today?
Thank you very much, Cindy. Happy to be here.
We're happy to have you here. So, what's new? What's going on?
Well, we finally managed to complete the latest Iron Savior album. It took 3 years since the last release. So, yeah, we're just proud of the end result. And... yeah, we're looking forward to go out live and playing this album on stage.
You've been a really busy guy. How many bands are you in right now?
Okay, yeah. At the moment, it's 4 bands.
What are their names?
I play in Savage Circus with Pete from Iron Savior 2. It's like a progressive power metal band. We just went on tour with Circle to Circle, an American band. I'm not sure if you're familiar with those.
I haven't seen them myself, no, but I'm looking
it's
forward
like,
to it.
The singer from Sabotage, his new combo.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, pretty great guys. And yeah, the tour went down well. Only bad thing for me was... my muscles contortioned, so we had to not play the last 5 gigs of the tour. I had to go to the doctor and get some injections. And
oh man, that sucks.
Yeah, I'm better. I'm better now. I'm
oh, thank goodness.
Singing with the Lacrimosa. We're playing this weekend a co-headliner festival with Marilyn Manson.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's like gothic metal.
Well, that's right on. Sounds like it's going to be fun.
I'm sure it will be. I mean, I saw Manson back in 96 in the audience. I was standing. So I'm looking forward to maybe have a drink with him or something.
Cool. I bet you will. You'll probably have lots of them.
Yeah, I hope so.
So what's it like to be you? Like, take us through a typical day. What do you do in a typical day?
Well, I guess I get up very late, sit down in front of my computer, like you do, I guess, to sort out your emails and your MySpace ads and whatever you have. And then I sit down and rehearse to the computer. And normally I go playing with that band I'm playing with at that period of time. This year has been a pretty busy year. I think I have 5 releases with 3 of the 4 bands.
Wow.
So there's been a lot of studio work too.
Holy mackerel. That sounds crazy. Like, how do you find time?
Well, I guess like everybody else, it's who has a full-time job, it's the same. Only difference is that my full-time job is the music. I don't think I'm more busy than a normal guy sitting in an office. What's normal now? I guess I'm just as normal as an office guy. I used to be in an office anyway.
Same here. How often do you actually play with your bands? Like, how often do you guys get together a week?
That's more in periods. At the moment, it's like Remosa, because we played this festival this weekend, and we prepare for a South American tour. So we have like a Lacrimosa period. At the same time, there's a new DVD coming out from the world tour 2005 to 2007. So it's like 3 weeks hanging out with Lacrimosa. After that, I have to, or I'm happy to be able to start writing for the new Savage Circus album, which will be recorded, and we have it out in October.
Cool.
And after that, we'll have a period of touring with Savage Circus and Iron Savior.
Wow.
So it's more like in periods.
Yeah, but that's how music
like
goes, eh?
When you had one band and you went down to the rehearsal room 4 times a week.
Yeah.
It's more like periods.
What was your scariest stage moment?
Oh. Yeah, once was really bad for me. That was also Lacrimosa. We were playing in South America. And in one particular song, I was always standing on a podium in the back and had to run quickly across the stage to my microphone to mm-hmm. sing a couple of backing vocals. And just in the moment I jumped, the lights went out. So
oh, no.
I had like a local sound and a local light technician.
Mm-hmm.
And I just landed totally wrong. Just
oh,
had
no.
a felt like a snap in my back and got an injury out of that. That was bad.
That
but
sounds
I mean, that's
really
nothing
bad.
Compared to what happens when people come on stage with armed with a gun or something.
True.
Which I heard about, you know, this terrible accident with the guitarist of Pantera.
Exactly.
Some
tragedy, eh?
With them, the crew, and I mean that must be just awful.
No kidding.
Hearing something like that.
It's almost like us musicians need danger pay or something.
I didn't really understand that.
It's almost like we need danger pay, you know, like extra pay for the extra danger
yeah.
we're
Are
going
through. Are you saying
through.
We? So you're a musician yourself?
I am. I play with the band Malice Cooper, and I play bass in Alexis Machine.
Oh, that sounds good. Does Malice Cooper have anything to do with Alice Cooper?
Well, I tribute him.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I was actually a huge fan as a teenager, and I still am. Especially the first, the Alice Cooper Band albums.
Well, you gotta check out my MySpace.
I've seen it, okay. I will dive deeper into that then.
There's a couple of live videos on there just off a camcorder. They're pretty funny.
Oh, cool. Yeah, especially being a bassist, Dennis Dunaway, he was an excellent player and he still is. And there's a lot of great licks from him.
I get to talk to him all the time. He's a nice guy.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Nice to hear.
What was your worst nightmare you've ever had? Like,
worst?
As in dreams.
Yeah, I remember that. I was sitting, like, in an open limousine.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bit like the JF Kennedy day. Also,
okay.
It looked a bit like that. It was, we were driving at a very slow pace. And I was sitting there with a wife. I'm not married in for real, but I was dreaming I had a wife
mm-hmm.
and our son. And this son was like 3 years old, maybe 4 years old. And then he turned to me and I saw that he had no eyes.
Oh, wow.
It was like, yeah, almost like Alice Cooper without eyes in the makeup, you know.
Oh, wow.
His eyes were torn out of his head. And a very loud, very deep voice said, "Whatever happened to Blackwell?"
Whoa.
No idea who Blackwell is.
Me either, but that just gave me a shiver.
Yeah, I've been having that dream a couple of times.
Really?
So I've been wondering about that.
Well, now I'm going to be wondering about it.
Yeah, thank you. if you have an idea, please send me an email.
Okay, I'll think about that one for a while. Don't know who. Well, isn't there? No, that's Richie Blackmore. Blackwell. Who's Blackwell? If there's a Blackwell out there, make sure you contact me.
Thank you, Cindy.
How do you feel about the MySpace thing? How do you feel that's, you know, are you using it as a tool to promote all of your bands?
Well, I'm trying to see it like more like staying in touch with all the people that you normally don't really call or you don't really meet.
Exactly.
If you met up with people, hooked up with people on a tour, it's really nice to be able to stay in touch like that. Because we all know we forget about swapping phone numbers, email addresses, or whatever.
Well, phone numbers you can lose very quickly, but if you put it on the computer, it's there for a long time, right?
That's right, yeah. So, and also finding people that I lost track of like 20 years ago or something.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a great thing.
No kidding. I like it for that as well.
Yeah.
How do you feel about those people that do the file sharing?
File sharing?
Yeah, for the music. How do you feel about that?
I think it's basically okay. I mean, if we're talking about like 128 kbps MP3s of music,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that can't really harm anybody because everybody used to do that in the old days with tape swapping anyway. We were all swapping cassettes in the old days.
That's
basically
true.
The same thing. Of course, I have something against good WAV files, swapping those. I mean, that's theft, of course.
Sure.
But MP3, I think, is a good thing.
Well, see, because a lot of... everybody's been torn on that lately, you know? It's got its good things and its bad things. Like, even internet radio as well, you know? Like, in Canada, they're not recognizing it as even being an entity. They don't want to regulate it or anything here.
Yeah, I must admit, just me being a normal user,
mm-hmm.
I haven't tuned in on a normal radio station for ages. But I do listen to internet radio.
Because you're sitting at the computer.
Yeah, I'm sitting there anyway, and I always want to see what's up with new bands, and yeah, I check it out through internet radio, and through MySpace, of course. It's very fast to navigate, a lot better than going into a record shop who doesn't have all the good albums anyway.
Absolutely. And I mean, a lot of the internet stations are playing indie, not labeled bands as well. So you get to hear stuff that you don't normally get to hear on, well, anywhere else.
Yeah, absolutely.
So where all have you toured?
Oh, practically. Okay, I never toured Africa and Australia, but I was to China, Japan.
Did
a long Russian tour last year, which was very interesting. We got to see the whole country from the west side to the east side. South America. I played a little in the States, but not enough. And of course Europe.
Wow, that's an extensive tour. That's like
it's huge. Over a long period of time.
Wow.
We're not really in a position where we can take one world tour in one piece, so...
What was Russia like?
Yeah, it was very interesting to see. It's really an up-and-coming market. There's huge cities in the middle of Russia that we hadn't known about, like...
Really?
Samara, for instance, 3-4 million people.
Wow. So, like, what kind of crowds were you playing to when you were there? Like, how many thousand?
It was like 2,000, 3,000 people every show.
Wow.
It was pretty good.
That's cool.
And interesting to play stuff like state circuses.
Mm-hmm.
So you play in this round, what do you call that, manege?
Oh, wow.
Called the stage in a circus?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's round, so you have to... keep running around to be sure that everybody can see you from the front.
Wow, that's incredible.
That was fun, and it was still spelling of animal, so it was cool.
Wow, that's really neat. And the Asian countries that you went to, what was the music scene like there?
Yeah, Japan is an old music scene, I guess, so that's pretty established, everything there. But China is really a new market.
Were those to larger crowds as well, or?
I'm sorry?
Were those to larger crowds, or?
Yes, but you could feel that it wasn't really... It was a new thing, being a rock audience. They weren't sure when they were allowed to shout or scream. So it was like they were looking for allowance or you know, a kind of cue before they got loud. It's like an on-off thing.
That's kind of neat, though, eh?
Yeah, but very nice, very polite.
Oh yeah, those people are so sweet.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Where else did you say? Did you say Africa?
No, I was never in Africa.
Where did you said somewhere eight? No.
South America, I guess.
South America?
We're going there again with Lacrimosa this year. Yeah, Mexico is a great place. The greatest fans in the world. They're so loud.
Cool. That's what we need, though, when we're on stage, is loud people.
Yeah, that's great, isn't it?
It is. There's no feeling like it.
Nope.
It's better than alcohol or anything.
For sure. It's the best trip at all.
Yeah. That's. I think most musicians feel that way.
Yeah, and you really get hooked. I mean, I started when I was 17. My first recording deal, I got that when I was still in school. And I already got hooked back then, and there was no way I could go out of playing rock and roll.
I can't stop doing it either. There's just no way.
So.
I can't think of my life without music. I just can't do it.
No, that's how it is.
Yeah. Well, I've had a great time interviewing you. Can you say thanks for listening to Nights with Malice Cooper? This is Jens from Iron Savior.
Let's do a test on that.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to, I didn't understand the
Nightmares
next.
With Malice Cooper.
Mirrors?
Nightmares.
Ah, Nightmares. Okay.
Yes.
Nightmares with Malice Cooper. I'm Jens Leonhard from Iron Savior. All right, I'll try that.
Okay. Give it a shot.
Hi there. Thanks for listening to Nightmare with Malice Cooper. I'm Jens Leonhard from Iron Savior.
Thanks so much. You know what? I've had a total blast talking to you and everything. I know you're a super, super busy guy. I don't want to keep you any longer. You got way too much on your plate. Four bands.
Thank you very much. This is the same with you. And I'll check out your MySpace site.
For sure.
I have to see those videos now.
Got your curiosity up, did I?
Yeah, for sure.
Excellent. All right. Did you want to plug all of your websites right now? Like, just say all of your websites?
Sorry?
Just say the names of all of your websites? Send out your links?
Yeah, I can do that at the same time, yeah.
Sure, do that right now.
Okay, thank you. It was very nice. Thank you, Cindy.
Okay, well, say on the radio what your web links are.
Cool. I'll do that.
Right now.
Oh, I have to say it. I don't have to
send
them. Okay, my web links are my own MySpace is oh, fuck. I'll try. Okay, my web links are Jens Leonhard in one word. That's of course the MySpace account. That would be myspace.com/JensLeonhard. Then we have the Iron Savior page, and that would be,
is it Iron_Savior?
I think it's Iron, what do you call the normal one?
Just a dash?
You call it a dash?
Sure.
So you have a slash and a dash?
Yep.
Iron-Savior.com. or on MySpace, Iron Savior Official. Yeah. Then we have the Savage Circus.
And you have the Lacrimosa at the end of MySpace.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Oh, and now my phone's beeping.
Yep, I hear that.
So I guess I should let you go so I can get that call, and you take care of yourself, Jens, and we'll talk again.
Thank you very much. You
okay,
too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Oh, got to turn that down because I don't want to echo. See, it's not echoing now. Black Holiday, Into the Chambers. That's what I've got next. Gonna play a couple more tunes, and then we're gonna go into Dennis Dunaway project interview. That's what we're gonna do. Are you guys all ready for that? I hope so. You don't look ready. I don't think you're ready. No, I don't know. I might make you Jones for a little while. Maybe I should. Yeah, maybe I should just make you guys Jones for a little while. Yeah, just a little while. I'm not saying for a long time, just a little bit. Gotta play some music too, you know. It's radio. That's the way it goes. I can't go like and play one interview and then another interview right away. That's just like, I don't know, not good. Black Holiday, Into the Chambers, up next. All right, I'm on the phone. Oh, darn, gotta turn that down. Okay, I'm on the phone with DJ Rageous Goddess. Although you can't hear because I don't have it on speakerphone, but I'm on the phone with her. Ha ha. Transcendence, After the Storm. So what's up next? Cooper Freak, I'll get you where I am in 1 second, okay? I will. Let me start the song, okay? 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 Can I start the song? Cooper Freak. Cooper Freak. Okay.
Cooper Freak. Can you hear me, Cooper Freak? I want to make you happy, Cooper Freak.
Anybody that goes to my site, go and hit up Cooper Freak. She's on there. Go make friends. Come on, do it. Transcendence, After the Storm. Now, I don't know what happened there, but apparently I scared Cooper Freak off. Something I said. I don't know. Fangest, Fire in Our Hearts, and Macbeth, Good Morning. Because it's morning for me. I just woke up a little while ago. So good morning. I'm going to play them both back to back right now.
Red Rock. Red Rock. Red Rock. Red Rock.
You're too good, Malice Cooper.
Welcome to my nightmare. It's after 4 now. We've got an hour left to go. WFLM, Kea, K94 Rocks, WIRN Chatbox, Windows Media, iTunes, the MySpaces, Malice Army, Malice Cooper, and Nightmares W, Malice Cooper at the end of MySpaces, v-m-u.com, Podomatic People. How's she going? I got Pam still on, I mean DJ Rageous Goddess still on the phone. Dope! Trigger Soul, Lost Reality I've got next, and then after that, we're heading into the Dennis Dunaway interview. Are you guys ready? Oh my God, don't panic. Don't freak out. Don't freak out. Okay, freak out. Go ahead, freak out. Lost Reality, Trigger Soul up next, and then I'm just going to blam right into it. To heck with it. I won't even talk. We're just going to go, okay? So here we go. Dennis Dunaway Project. How's it going, Dennis?
It's going great. How are you?
So far, so good. What's shaking? What's new, buddy?
Well, going to be playing in Cleveland at the Beachland Ballroom on August 4th. We're excited about that.
Right on. What is it, a festival or what kind of a gig is it?
No, it'll be a concert. A band will open for us, and then we will play an hour and a half show.
Nice. That sounds like a blast.
Half of our songs are classic Alice Cooper songs, and the other half are songs off of our new album, Bones from the Yard.
Oh, cool. So you're still playing some of the Cooper stuff, even with the new project, then?
Oh, yeah. Well, we have one album, so to do an hour and a half, we need more material for one thing, and the other reason is because I still love playing those songs.
Right. Well, of course.
Some of our own interpretations on some of them, and others we do faithful as we can to the original recordings.
Cool. Well, so like which ones do you cover still?
Well, we mix it up. Every time we play, we do some different ones. But I mean, we get off the beaten path a lot. We do like You Drive Me Nervous and
Sweet, I love that song.
Hello Hooray and Billion Dollar Babies, of course.
Great.
Big Apple Dreamin'. So we mix it up. I think Beachland will be this Friday in Connecticut. We will be playing the set that we will be doing at the Beachland Ballroom. Joe Bouchard is going to sit in with us at the Beachland Ballroom from Blue Oyster Cult. And Blue Oyster Cult fame, I should say. And he's going to be back from an Irish tour by then, and he's going to sit in on our encore.
Very nice.
And this Friday night, he's going to sit in with us, and we're going to run down the a preview of that set, including a dancer named Blanca, who does this amazing interpretation of our song, Kandahar.
Oh, really? So she just dances around while you guys are playing the song? And, like, makes it an art?
Well, what she does is like a show-stopping interpretation. It's like a belly dance sort of oriented thing, but it is just amazing.
Wow. And, well, I guess if you're a guy...
And we alter the song to accommodate that dance routine.
Cool. Wow, that's trippy. That's a really cool idea. Who came up with it?
Well, I did.
I should have known.
Actually, the song has a Middle Eastern feel, and so I got the idea to have a belly dancer on it, and my wife, whose name is also Cindy, went on the internet and looked at all kinds of belly dancers, and then we found this particular one who we thought looked to be exceptional, and then we set it up so that she performed this once before with us at the Cutting Room in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And went over so well that we've decided that we want to revive it for the Beachland Ballroom.
Sweet. That's just that's incredible. It's absolutely amazing.
I think there is a picture of her dancing on the pictures on our MySpace page, on MySpace Dennis Dunaway Project.
Cool.
Where people can also go on our MySpace profile page and hear four of the songs off of our new album.
Right. And it's a nice page, too, by the way.
I'm sorry?
It's a nice page, too, by the way. Like, I like the layout
and
everything.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our guitar player, Rick Tedesco, who pretty much organized this, got the ball rolling on this whole band, recording-wise. He also did the website because he has a guitarhanger.com where he sells all kinds of high-end guitars.
Cool.
And so he's very adept at doing websites and things like that.
You answer your own mail, though.
To find time with the band recording and playing live shows, and then him selling us guitars, but we managed to fit it all in.
Yeah, you guys are busy though. Like I've been watching the page, and it's, you guys are just all over the place. And you were playing with Alice's Nightmare. Are they going to be playing with you too?
They opened for us at the Chance in Poughkeepsie, New York, and I really liked them a lot. I enjoyed their show. We are thinking of doing some things in October for Halloween extravaganza thing.
Cool.
They're all really nice guys, which makes it. But they have a lot of people in their show.
Well, that's That's the hardest part, you know, making it all happen. You know, any of the tribute bands, if they go the extra and get, you know, actors to come out, you know, even thus be it their friends, you know,
well,
it's still, it makes for a better show.
Well, of course, you know
show.
As well as anybody that you have to tap all of your friends in order to pull off that show, because, you know, I mean, the original Alice Cooper group did it in the early days on a shoestring budget, so it can't
exactly.
be done.
Yep.
Times have changed and expenses have increased.
Oh, for sure. The confetti cannon alone was $150.
We didn't pay that for our confetti, that's for sure.
Well,
hats off to you for doing that anyway.
We have so much fun.
It's a lot of fun, isn't it?
Oh, man. It's the best. I out of all the bands I've ever been in my life, this one's by far the most fun. I mean, what other band can I get electrocuted in? You know, like really, and I'm totally, I can't wait for them to put together that guillotine, you know, like I really want to try that. I got to try that.
Well, you must be crazier than I am.
Well, no, it's just, I don't know. There's something about Alice's whole show. I mean, I go into it and I'm not me. As soon as I'm on stage, it's like, presto changeo, somebody else is up there, and in the same respect, being me, you know, it's kind of like, well, I know that I'm doing that because obviously it's me, but you know, that would be a cool thing for them to do to me. So, you know, that's the way I was looking at it.
The Jekyll and Hyde thing, you know.
Oh, it totally is.
You become this other person, and you rise to the occasion of the show, and it's like a mini vacation. When you get off stage, then you come back to reality.
Exactly. And Neil Smith was telling me, you know, that I got to make sure that I don't, you know, that it's, I'm Malice Cooper the character, but Malice Cooper's actually the band. You know, he told me to not lose sight of that. And I keep on trying, but you know what? My mom put Happy Birthday Malice on my cake 2 years ago, and it freaked me right out. I was like, no, I'm not going to change my name to Malice Cooper. Alice did that, and I don't know if he really likes it or not even still. You know?
Well,
what do you suggest?
You know, it is, no matter, even Alice with backup musicians, it's still a band effort.
Totally.
There's,
it's always
getting around
that.
It's a band effort, and how the audience views it, that's, you don't have that much control over that.
What are you playing through right now these days, bass wise?
Well, I still play my 1970 jazz bass, which I have three of them that I used on the all the way back to school's out. I played through an SVT, you know, I'm old school, and I just carried that thing upstairs last night, and it is heavy.
Yeah, but it's got such a sweet
heavy,
tone, right?
Heavy, little tiny bass amp heads now that have a metal handle, and the thing, it's smaller than a shoebox, and it sounds great, so, I don't know, maybe it's time for this old dog to learn a new trick.
No, that bass has
a
good tone.
You know, it is a different world technically as well. Back in the days where you had to rely on a monster amp to project the bass sound, these days the PAs are up for the challenge, and you're able to keep the stage volume lower, much lower, and it still sounds good in the audience.
That's totally true. So basically your rig's gotten smaller, but the sound's gotten bigger.
Yeah, well, you know, we're playing various size rooms, so when we play a small room, which I like playing intimate rooms, we try to play to that room. We try not to use amps that are going to totally blow it away.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. It's so a lot of the times you actually really just prefer playing the smaller stages then?
Well, my favorite venues are theaters with a balcony, because the acoustics are almost always good in them, and you can get the full impact of what you're doing across to everybody in the room.
Right.
Or, you know, when you those festivals that we played in the glory days, you know, where there were hundreds of thousands of people,
mm-hmm.
it's almost like the audience turns into this moving wallpaper. You know, it's, you're not.
That's true. That,
and of course, the guy that's 10,000 rows back can't really say that he's getting any kind of impact of what you're trying to project.
Oh, that's not true.
So I do like small rooms, and even very small rooms, I do like that too, because then you can really say, like on the middle section of Black Choo Choo, which I wrote and I sing and will perform at the East Side Ballroom.
That one's a tough one for me.
We bring it, you know, when you, in the middle part, you can bring it down until you can hear a pin drop. And when you're in an intimate room, you can really achieve that. You can bring it down until the whole room is as quiet as a mouse.
Cool. You know, yeah, that's
not
true.
A heckler.
That's true. Well, but the thing is, in the smaller clubs too, you know, it's almost like they do, they're almost silent while you're playing. At times, you know?
Well, it depends. I mean, there's a lot of socializing sometimes. Every night is different, you know. Sometimes
true.
It's rowdy, and sometimes... the middle part of Black Choo Choo is a perfect example of that. Some nights when you bring it down, all you hear is a lot of talking going on in the room, and other times it makes the room go silent, so... That's the goal, but it doesn't always work that way. But, you know, no matter what you do, every night is different.
My drummer and husband, Rick, wanted to know, the bassline hook of Muscle of Love, was it really an African talking drum?
On the intro part during the verses, yes, that was Jack Richardson with this big giant drum between his knees, and he was a formidable sized guy in those days, and he played it on the drum, and I play it on the bass on stage.
That's what he was wondering, but, and how is it that you get that tone then to mimic the drum on your bass? How did what exact settings are you using?
Well, I don't really adjust the setting. I just slide the on the bass string. It's very difficult to do, actually, but I just slide on the bass string up to that note, and then pull it back down and get back to the notes that I need to get to at the bottom of the neck.
You're gonna have to sit down and show me that one day.
Okay, I'll show it to you for later.
Just because I want to know, because I'm a bass player too. In Alexis Machine, I play bass. I'm antisocial. That's my
mm-hmm.
character. So. I mean, I'm a bass player too, so the bass stuff is...
Do you use a 4-string bass?
Five-string.
Five-string? Okay.
Yeah, tuned to low C.
Like Joe Bouchard says, I don't use all four of the ones I have.
Well, I can use all five, but, you know...
On the G string,
mm-hmm.
all you do is slide up to the note that the drum hits on the record.
Okay.
And then you, when you get to that note, you have to start sliding back down because you have to get back down to the bottom of the neck to catch those next notes coming up.
Very cool. I'm going to do that and like blow his mind later.
It's simple, but it's hard to do. You really have to grip the neck hard, and you really have to, when you have to watch to make sure you hit the right fret, and it's the same fret every time, but it comes fast. But when you practice it, then it kind of becomes second nature, except every once in a while I'll get caught off guard and forget to jump on it right away, because you can't stop thinking. You have to be really ready to slide up to that note every time in every hole of the riff, and it can be done. I'll do that also at the Beachland Ballroom.
Cool. I'll have to get on my new bass player's case about this one.
There we go. You have a request, and so we'll honor it at the Beachland.
Awesome.
Also of love, and somebody will be there, I'm sure, with their camera, and so you can see it.
Well, that would be awesome.
That'll save you a quarter.
You can just email it to me or message it to me. That'll save us, like, instead of mail, snail mail, stuff that never gets here.
Yeah, it's not only slow getting there, but you go to the post offices around here, and it takes you forever to get up to the front of the line.
Yeah, just to buy your $1.50 stamp.
It's like they only hire slots.
Yeah, those people always move so slow, too, right?
Yeah, it's like...
It's like, do-pito, like, it's like, could you, like, move? I don't know. Like,
I don't
move
think
it?
It's what Benjamin Franklin had in mind when he started the Postal Service.
I don't think so, either. Maybe they need horses.
Yeah, Pony Express.
Yeah.
I'm from Arizona.
How's the weather out there, by the way?
I'm not in Arizona. I'm in Connecticut, and it's muggy here today. But
well, so
Arizona has been very hot this summer, unusually hot summer. It's been like up in the triple digits pretty
quickly,
117 and numbers like that this summer. My parents still live there, so I get the weather report regularly.
I love Phoenix.
You know, it's either hot or it's really hot out there.
Yeah.
No in between.
Yeah, not in Arizona, no.
Yeah, and they always say, well, but it's a dry heat. They have these T-shirts that have a picture of a skeleton leaning up against a cactus, and it says, but it's a dry heat.
Yeah, it's so dry, it strips the paint right off your car.
Well, yeah, that's right. There, you don't see any rust, but it'd be a miracle to find an old car that still has the interior that hasn't rotted from the dry heat.
You remember that one year that it snowed in the 80s?
Well, it snowed last year, and you won't believe how many of my relatives sent me pictures of this blue sky with a couple of white dots in it.
Well, all I know is when I was in Arizona, we brought some snow with us because it went, we were in Scottsdale, and it went and snowed, and it was like the whole city shut down. We're just like driving around like normal. Nobody else is on the street.
You'd think it was like, it is a miracle there.
Well, everybody was gone, like disappeared. Like, what the heck happened? Are we the only ones left alive? There's nobody around. None of the stores are open.
They went to get their cameras.
Well, they were, I guess.
So they could send me a picture with white dots and a blue sky.
Yeah.
But northern Arizona is different, like around the Grand Canyon. I mean, in Flagstaff, Arizona, they've had a couple of winters that were much harsher than Connecticut.
We're not
talking
it up
about
there.
Canadian standards now. You know about snow.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a big difference. The stuff you guys got there, it was so funny. We were just laughing our heads off. Like, it was melting as it was hitting the road. You know, like, where's it going to go? It's going to melt. I mean, come on. The ground's like 800 degrees. You can't walk on it with bare feet.
Yeah, and you don't want to buy a real Christmas tree either. It's a fire hazard.
Well, yeah, everything. Oh, yeah, it's really dry out there. That's true. Because I noticed, like, most of the lawns aren't lawns, they're rocks.
Yeah.
There's very few people that actually have the actual lawns there.
Yeah, well, that's true. More and more you see that, which is good, too, because originally, in the old days, people started migrating to Arizona for asthma and respiratory problems. But then, when as more and more people moved there and started getting growing Bermuda grass lawns, then all of a sudden it defeated the purpose. So, especially in retirement communities out that way, you hardly ever see a lawn, not only for maintenance, but also for that reason.
Right. Cool. Well, so Dennis Dunaway Project's going to be playing right away here up on the 4th, and we're going to run this show like for you tomorrow real quick so we can get that in there, so you're going to be on your way and everybody's going to show up.
Great. We're going to have a blast.
Oh, I think, you know what? I wish I could go. I just wish I could go.
Okay, well, maybe
one of these days money's going to fall from the sky. I just know it.
Or maybe we'll get up your way sometime.
That would be cool, actually. You should. You should come to Winnipeg. Winnipeg needs the Dennis Dunaway Project. Actually, the Walker
Theater.
Put
that on the list.
The Walker Theater, that would probably be, I think that's what it's called still. That would probably be a good place.
Cool.
Or Alice played the concert hall.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And I think he really liked it there.
Great.
You should talk to him about who we contacted there and then set that up. Because I'd go. I'm in. I'm going.
I can do that. Maybe I'll call Alice and get the contact, and then I'll ask him if he wants to open for me.
Good idea. That would be wicked.
And you can headline.
Really? Get out. That would be funny. No, you headline. Let me back you up.
Okay.
Okay. Sounds good to me. You
can
do that.
And we'll do a Muscle of Love with plain bass.
Sure. Actually, that would be really funny. Oh, I better learn that then.
Yeah, you got some homework to do.
Yep. Well, it's one thing playing Alexis Machine songs. Those ones I just feel out and I don't have to worry. These ones are you already wrote. And, well, it's not going to be easy to imitate you. That's not an easy task.
For the most part, Muscle of Love is one of the more difficult ones, but most of them sound more difficult than they actually are.
I just love playing them and singing them, you know? Like, it's just to die for. Every last one of them. Like, what a great thing, you know, the Alice Cooper original group gave to the world. Like, all those albums, like, just incredible. You know?
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. I mean, jeepers. You know? A lot of them changed so many people's lives, you know?
That's what people tell me. I had no idea back then. I was too busy to think about stuff like that. But I even had a fan who showed up one day who had been in prison, and he said that and while he was in prison, somebody had some Alice Cooper stuff and turned him on to it, and he said that turned his life around.
Well, of course, because technically when you think about it, all of that stuff was like an after school special. Look, if you kill the baby with the sword, you're gonna die, you know? It is like Alice is showing you what not to do, right?
Right. It was a passion.
And then all of those people, when turned around to being, you know, like, oh, you know, there's such a big hype, you know, he's killing babies. It's like, no. You guys got it all wrong. You know, like, A, don't you see the humor in what's going on? B, don't you see that, like, he's telling you, if you do this, this is what happens.
That's right, and if people had listened to the lyrics of Dead Babies, they'd realize that it was actually had a statement to it that was much different than they thought.
Well, exactly. It's an anti-child abuse song.
Right. Parental neglect.
Totally.
that you should go out and get a baby and, you know,
exactly.
And act.
It's saying, look, if you do this, this is what's going to happen to you. You know, a lot of Ellis' songs and the songs that you've written are like that. You know?
Yes, that's true. That's true. It had its redeeming value.
Oh, I'd
basically,
say very redeeming.
Like you said, it was really all good-natured and in fun. People took it a lot more serious. Some people took it a lot more serious than it should have been.
Oh, and I still say the chicken thing, I would have probably done the same thing because I didn't know they can fly.
Well, see, I grew up, my grandparents had raised chickens for a business when I was little, so I knew they couldn't fly very far.
Well, yeah, but I mean...
But Alice didn't live on a farm, and he truly didn't realize that the chicken wasn't...
Yeah, but the wheelchair people were the ones that ripped it apart. Who's the sick people here?
Well, that's true.
You know?
But if you toss anything into it...
Like, what are you blaming Alice for? They're sitting in their wheelchairs. They're the savages.
Well, you know, the chicken was our pet, actually.
Are you serious? You brought a chicken
on
the road?
Yeah. Yeah, they stayed in Glenn's bathroom, so he would borrow other people's bathrooms.
I was always wondering, okay, how did you bring a chicken? Who brought a chicken to a concert? Like, I mean, what would possess a person? I'm just going to smuggle it in under my jacket. No one will know.
We had two chickens. There was Larry and Pecker.
All right, that's
Pecker's
it.
Demise ended
I'm calling the rooster Mr. Pecker. That's it. Just
and
for
we
that.
Ripped open the feather pillow to make it look like, you know, all this stuff was happening. Basically, at the end of the night, Larry and Pecker would go back in a box and go to Glenn's hotel room.
Oh my God, that's funny. I honestly, because it was like, I was always, who in their right mind would bring a chicken to a concert? You know? I could never figure that out. Well, now you cleared
no,
it up for me.
Entertainment.
Though. That's totally entertainment.
That's what some young kids asked me recently, you know, what did you do to make it? You know, we have a band and we really want to make it and we need some advice. I said, well, you know, you're going to have to come up with your own thing. We threw chickens at the audience. You're going to have to come up with your own way to get attention.
That's like a local band. They fired off the cannons, but they put hot dogs in them.
Like it. That's right.
It can be done, people. There's still stuff out there that hasn't been done.
Well, we did a show once, and the opening band was an early version of Devo.
Cool.
And the drummer did a drum solo with two lobsters.
Right on.
talent is rare. the Alice Cooper group did the movie Good to See, Diary of a Mad Housewife, the guy, when we were getting ready to shoot the scene, then the stagehand came up and who worked for the movie company, a stagehand came up and said, do you guys need anything? And Neil said, I need two turkey legs because I'm going to play my drum solo with that. So it's New York City. So the guy left and he came right back with two turkey legs. And like, what? I was so jealous because Neil did it totally just so he could get some food.
That's great. Oh my God, that's so funny. I can just see him sitting there eating them instead of playing his drums with them.
Yeah, he would like lean down behind the drums and eat some, and I'm like, I was so jealous.
Well, yeah, because back in those days, food was scarce, wasn't it?
Yep, for us it was.
Yep. See, most people don't know that, though.
Well, we put all of our... I mean, first of all, most people didn't like us in those days. We were one of the most hated bands on the planet. But
fear of the unknown.
When we did make money, we put it all into our show, you know?
Yep.
Basically
the same thing we're doing.
There wasn't any extra. extravagant amount, but whatever money we got, it was just to make ends meet and to come up with some other prop or whatever, and we kept sinking it into the show. We even did that all the way into the arena days. I mean, it cost a lot of money to take your own stage on the road, and we were the first band that ever took our own light show. Was belonged at as part of the band. It wasn't a separate entity. I mean, the Grateful Dead had Owsley, but that was still for their PA. But that was still a little bit different. We had the our light show guy Charlie Carter. Essentially, an equal member of the band who got equal pay. It was part, and he rehearsed with it along with the music. And then nobody else took their own light show on the road. Nobody else took props on the road, and definitely nobody else had taken a stage on the road. And all of that kept.
Are you walking around on cordless? You walking around on a cordless phone right now?
I'm on a landline.
Okay, is it like one of those ones that you can walk around, though?
Why? What's the problem?
It was breaking up for a second, that's all.
Oh. You sure it wasn't my voice? I was singing a lot last night.
I'm not sure, no. Maybe it was, but it sounded like the phone. But that's okay, I'll just edit it.
Maybe I should sit still. Maybe this cord has a loose connection or something. It gets stretched across the room on a regular basis.
Well, you're a busy guy.
How does it sound now?
That's fine. It's absolutely perfect now.
Good. I won't move.
Well, I don't want to keep you much longer.
Okay, well, it's great talking to you after, you know, knowing about you for, geez, it's been a few years now since I first saw your icons on the internet.
True. It's been lots of fun talking to you back and forth on messages as well. But we're going to still do that.
Yeah.
For sure. Can you say you're listening to Dennis Dunaway from the Dennis Dunaway Project on Nightmares with Malice Cooper?
Sure.
Give her.
This is Dennis Dunaway. Are you ready?
Yep. Give her.
This is Dennis Dunaway from the Dennis Dunaway Project on the Malice Cooper Nightmares with Malice show.
Cool. Thanks, buddy. I'll let you go. We'll say bye to... How freaking cool was that? I know. Dennis Dunaway Project, Kandahar, and I'm out of here going over to Invasion Radio. Stay on Kia and K94 Rocks. Because I'll be on them too. Dennis Dunaway Project, Kandahar. Thanks again, Dennis. That was fun.